G'day there, folks. Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello. Welcome. Welcome back. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me as we continue our study series in the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 9 today, starting from the beginning, verse 1. I think we'll just jump straight into it. If you've got your Bible, please read along with me. So Luke 9, verse 1, it says, "Then he," this is Jesus, "called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Do you remember Luke chapter 6 where he actually set aside, he chose the 12 who were then to be called apostles? Well, that's where he sets them apart. This is where he now begins to send them out. Much the same as he looks to do with us, set us apart through our faith in Christ, but of course also to be sent out. And they're being sent out on their first mission work. And yes, they had Jesus with them. And yes, you know, he gives them power and authority. And I'm sure then yet still, they were still a little cautious, a little going, okay, how's this going to work as they find their feet in this type of missionary work also. But the key here is it says he gave them power and he gave them authority, it says, over all demons and to cure diseases. Yet again, we see that very clear distinctions between demons, possession, illness, sickness, disease, and so on. And take note that Jesus doesn't just push him out the door. I had a job like that once where I got the job and they go get him, tiger. They just threw me out the door and thinking that I'd know what I was doing. No, that's not this. Absolutely not this. Because it says here that he's given them both the capability to do this and also the commission. So he gives them power. In the Greek. You've probably heard this one from a preacher up the front somewhere sometime. I want to spend just a moment on it because there are a few things that are really important for us to understand. He gives them power, dunamis, literally meaning power or strength. It means the ability, or more importantly, I guess, the capability to do that which we have been sent. It's the same word which was used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll come to that when we get to that section, of course, where he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." This is dunamis, the same power. And I've heard it from up the front at different times and seen it written down. Many preachers will actually refer to this dunamis power as, you know, sort of liken it to dynamite. This explosive power that comes. And the problem with that is dynamite is, yes, explosive, but it's also destructive and it's also one time, one use. No, that's not this. That's not what this means. In the original Greek context here and 100 other places in Scripture, dunamis refers to continuous. It refers to, you know, inherent ability, capability. It refers to miraculous strength that we have through the Holy Spirit, not one time, one burst, you know, high explosive. And I do get it. And this is different perhaps to what you've maybe heard, but understand this, that whilst dynamite and here, dunamis power, do come from the same root Greek word, dynamite as a word didn't exist till 1867 when Alfred Nobel literally invented what he became to call dynamite, this amazing explosive chemical made from nitroglycerin. And he looked through the Greek going, I want to find some amazing word to represent this. And in English, there's a similarity in the beginning of the spelling. And so he went, there it is. I'm going to call it dynamite. But the power here that we see, dunamis, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Folks, it doesn't come and then go. It's there. It's continuous. It's always. Okay? This is God in you. Don't think that it can come. Don't think that it can go. Absolutely not. When God dwells within, oh boy, he is with you then forever. Praise God. And then Scripture goes on to say that it also gave him authority. In the Greek, exousia, meaning the right. This is the authority under a name. This is the jurisdiction to perform and do what is required, to do these things in Jesus' name. And I remember one time by illustration, I'd come to a set of lights. You know, you've got the four different crossroads set of lights. They're all out. And there's this tiny little lady cop out in the middle. And not all lady cops are tiny. I'm not saying this one, though. She was tiny. She was not a woman of great stature. yet she directed that traffic, stopping, starting traffic, organizing because of the badge. She had the authority and the right to do exactly what she was doing, and she did it tremendously well. And what we see here as we go through Scripture, and we'll learn more and more about our Lord Jesus as we go. He had both the authority and the power under his command to do these things, and his right to, you know, just affect obedience whenever he spoke to sickness, disease, or demon possession. And I like the way that it actually shows up in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, he says, I give you the authority, exousia, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, listen, dunamis, of the enemy. What? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This word, power, being applied here also to the enemy. But listen carefully. I give you, Jesus says, the authority. The badge. You have the authority even over the enemy's power. Did you hear me? Did you hear that? Do you see that? Write that down in the margin of your Bible should you need to, if there's no footnote. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. That's what we have through the Holy Spirit. And the disciples here, they're not just being sort of sent out with general instructions. They're given everything that they need for the work they're asked to do. They're given a commission. Christ sends them out. Verse 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They're given the authority. They acted under his command and under his name with the power that he gave them, enabling them to accomplish the assigned ministry along the way. And here's what's really good about that. There's no pride in that. It's his power, his authority. They're just doing as commanded. He sends them out. The ability and the capability and the authority originates from him, not from them. And both of them are a gift from Jesus. His work, his power, his authority. And then the mission, their first mission, the mission was to preach the kingdom. You know, this is still our core mission too. It really is. We get lost. We get caught up in different things of what's your purpose? What are you supposed to be doing? This is the core mission. And it's different from probably what they, you know, were expecting. And it's still the same. But the thing is, we don't get to make up the rules. Jesus does. We see in Luke 24, and again, we'll come to that. Repentance and remission of sin. This is what we are to preach for the coming of the kingdom of God. And then we see here also to heal the sick. Look, folks, we do have to be careful in the proclaiming of the kingdom not to sort of neglect and forget the people. It's not about just high-minded preaching. No, it's about the people that are hearing it. It's from him, for them. Do you hear me when I say that? Very, very important. This is so important, but the core message is the kingdom. And then he says, I like this. This is curious. Verse 3, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. And, you know, do not even have two tunics apiece. Verse 4, whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And so, verse 6, they departed. They went through the towns, preaching the gospel, and they were healing everywhere. And so now we are beginning to see it in action. Take nothing for the journey. Now, remember, the message is the main thing. I read a book one time. I have no idea who wrote it. Long, long time back. I said, the main thing is to remember that the main thing is the main thing. Well, the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom, that was indeed the main thing. And there was a tradition or, you know, a rule, spoken rule, unspoken, we might say these days. But the rule of the day was that you couldn't enter into the temple with either literally a staff or with shoes or with a money bag, because doing so, it sort of gave the appearance that maybe you're on some other kind of business other than God's. And so knowing that that was a rule, Jesus giving this command, this is not new to them. They understood this immediately. He says literally, neither take a staff, nor a bag, nor bread or money. Very poor in the material things, but very rich in the message. And that's the key which we must remember. It's a principle that we can learn from. If the preacher trusts God, so can we. Yeah, absolutely. And he says, whoever will not receive you, shake off the very dust from your feet. Now, I've heard this spoken of also many different times, you know, different directions, dust off the feet, under the premise of, you know, how Jewish people, when they'd come in and they go through a Gentile city, and they would shake the dust off their feet as they were leaving the city and then continuing on their journey. Yes. And here, maybe, are they being instructed to treat unbelieving Jewish city the same way? Yes. But there is something very important at play here, which is why I stop, pause, and mention it for one moment. The key is this. They were not told to convince. They were not told to argue. They were not told to, you know, debate scripture. They were told to preach the kingdom of God, the good news of the gospel, and then let the works of God speak for themselves. I've often said, and will many times say, our job is to preach the word. The Holy Spirit's job is to do the work. I mean, I can't convince someone, no matter how hard I try, I cannot convince someone to believe in the love of God in their life. I just can't. But I can preach the gospel message of Jesus and his redeeming sacrifice on Calvary. And then the Holy Spirit can open their heart to understand the message, or their ears to hear, or their eyes to see. We see that in Scripture time and time again. So it was also for these disciples as well. And so they did as they were instructed. They departed. They did what Jesus told them to do. They went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They did both the mission given to them by Jesus, and they did it by the power and the authority to fulfill it. And that is the mission. That's it. Yep. That's the nuts and bolts of the mission. But let's keep reading. This is interesting. We could stop there, but I think we'll go a little bit further. Verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him. We spoke of Herod earlier up, and it says that he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some others that Elijah had appeared, and by others also that one of the old prophets, had risen again. Verse 9, Herod said, but John I have beheaded. Who is this of whom I hear such things? And so he sought to see him. Word gets around, hey? Yes. And their preaching, I love it, was so effective that even Herod heard of it. And he's curious. More than that, it actually says that he was perplexed. He was worried. He was anxious about it in some way. And there's no indication in Scripture at all, any time, that Herod, this is Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, that he was any way at all any kind of sincere spiritual man. He was just curious, sort of like a historian. What's going on here? Is this man maybe a threat to me? I think that was also playing a part as well. Because, you know, some said that Jesus was like John the Baptist, of whom he'd recently put to death, you know, that he was a herald of God. And others said that Jesus was John the Baptist. He'd risen from the dead. Others then said, no, he's just like one of the prophets of old, come again. Either way, Scripture says here that Herod was perplexed. He was worried. He was anxious, especially as we know from Scripture, he actually had a bit of a guilty conscience after he'd murdered John, who was, he knew, a man of God. Mark 6, and we speak to that, Matthew 14 also. And so it says that he sought to see him, although this actually never happened. He never caught up with Jesus until the night before Jesus was crucified. Again, we'll come to this. I love this, how they all connect together. Luke chapter 23, when we get there, says, now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he'd heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracles done by him. We'll come to that. But it says here, and the apostles, when they returned, verse 10, let's just finish off with this one. They told him all that he had done. This is Jesus. And he, Jesus, took them, and they went aside privately to a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Look, we will finish there. Two things. They returned. They told him, Jesus, all that they had done. He was interested. He really was interested. He wanted to debrief. He wanted to discuss, just like any of us in leadership would do as we're talking to someone. A young fellow I was talking today who caught up with a brother also. And I say, how did it go? I'm interested. I want to help him debrief. I want to encourage him and pray and help where I can if needs be also. Point number two, it says really that he cared. Jesus actually cared for them as he also cares for you. He cared enough to listen. He cared enough to give them rest. You know, he gave them the space to recover and reflect. And remember I said it earlier, going back all the way a whole bunch of videos ago, that Luke shows more than any other that he shows the human side of Jesus needing to rest. He also shows it of us as well. Yes, yes. We need to rest also, especially those of us in ministry. Don't hold that against those who minister to you folks when they take some time out. Please allow them to rest. Allow them to reflect. Remember that. It is important. All right. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.